Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Well, you're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Sean Wade and Greg Tomlinson, both from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. Unbelievably, Greg, a stalwart of that Supporters Trust, somehow Sean getting voted back in. We still don't have the full recant on that one, but there is time for you to tweet in tonight. Have your say at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We're going to be talking about the brilliant win for Newcastle last night, seeing them reach the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time since 2006, looking about that late addition in the transfer window, Danny Rose, then delighted to say Mick Martin will be joining us. So stay around for that one coming up at 7:30, and we'll be talking about ongoing issues surrounding the club and that takeover bid. Well, delighted to be joined by Sean and Greg. Good to see them both in the studio. They're smiling faces at the minute. And Greg, I imagine that face must have been smiling a little bit more after last night's result.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it might be Oxford. They might be in the same division as Sunderland. But whenever you score a winner in the 120th minute or whatever it was, something close to that, you know, absolutely overjoyed. It looked like embarrassment on national TV, on BBC One. But yeah, pulled it out the bag at the last minute. And it's about time one of those shots from St Maximum cutting inside went in the top corner, because he's tried that a lot and most of them roll out for a goal kick. So about time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on national TV last night, and now we're talking about on national radio now on Love Sport Radio. Sean, Newcastle never make it easy. We saw in the third round facing Rochdale, needing a replay, bringing them back home to St James's Park. It was all won, the game last night. 2-0, up and cruising. More chances. And then there's a goal in the 84th minute, and we thought, well, we hoped, a consolation goal. Unbelievable at the end. What were you thinking? Were you thinking that typical Newcastle?
Well, the thing is that, you know, we've been on the end of when we played Everton and we were getting beat 2-0, and then, you know, we equalised, well, we scored, and then a couple of seconds later we equalised, so to go 2-2. So we've been on the receiving end of that, you know, and we know how fantastic it feels. So for Oxford, they must have felt amazing. And then goes into extra time, and to tell the truth, I was sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, the writing's on the wall here, you know, is it ever going to go to penalties and we'll lose, or are they going to nick one? Because they were playing very, very perky at that time, you know, and they looked like the stronger squad, to be fair. Yeah, I was, you know, it's a nervy time, and it's for both sets of fans whenever it goes to extra time like that. So it's the joy of the FA Cup, isn't it?
It is the joy of the FA Cup, Greg, when you do snatch a late winner. I know I want to bring you in there. Oxford play some good football. The Man City played them this year, Man City won. They played West Ham, and they absolutely played West Ham off the park and knocked them out of the League Cup, Greg.
Yeah, they did. They played some good stuff. And, you know, a lot of people were saying to me, you know, they've lost their two best players. Signed for Brentford at the end of the transfer window. You'll be fine. But they played some really good stuff. They had the young lad on loan from West Ham, who was really good.
Yeah,
they had the guy on loan from Feyenoord as well, who scored the free kick. Yeah, but, you know, last 15 minutes, it was, or last, you know, last 10 minutes, it was end-to-end stuff. Clearly neither team wanted pens. For good reason for Newcastle. We've only ever won one penalty shootout in our entire history, away at Watford in the League Cup, a few years ago. So yeah, we absolutely didn't want penalties. They clearly didn't want them either, because it was end to end. And thankfully, you know, the quality shone through in the end from St Maximum, really.
It did. And what was really good to see in that extra time, you know, the second half, the last 10 minutes, what was so good about it? No team wanted to lose, both teams were trying to win rather than not to lose, Sean.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, when it comes down to that, and it's you know, it's extra time and it's going to go to penalties, there has to be a winner, you know, and it's better to get it out of the way as soon as possible, you know. And I thought Oxford done great to fight
fight back to come back to 2-2, and then sort of extra time, like I say, you know, they were both battling away, and that's what the FA Cup's about, though, isn't it? That's the wonderful thing about it. To be fair, the first game at St James's Park was a bit disappointing. It was Newcastle didn't really get out of first gear, and you know, it was a wishy washy game, quite an unforgettable game, to be fair. But that certainly was all changed last night at Oxford. It was a good game, and I'm imagining for a neutral watching, it must have been brilliant to see, you know. And for young kids watching, you know, that's where I came into football, as a young kid sitting watching the FA Cup on BBC, you know. And it's just like, and that's it, draws you in, and that's the beautiful thing about it, you know. And also when sort of teams and grounds host games for the FA Cup, generally the tickets are a little bit cheaper, you know. It opens it up for people who aren't season ticket holders, and it's generally that first window into football, you know, as a youth and going along with your dad or your uncle or your granddad or even your mother for that matter, you know. It's like sort of it's an FA Cup is an opportunity to go and see sort of your heroes on the pitch. And I think between Oxford and Newcastle, mate, I'm hard pushed to find anyone that didn't play the socks off last night, you know. I thought Joe Linton, although he was only on for, 25 minutes or something, he played well while he was on there.
Brilliant goal.
Looked like he was playing a bit out of position, to be fair. But when he played through the middle to score the goal, he looked like he was in his element, you know. But then, you know, straight away he held his side. I've looked back at, he received a slight kick on the wing, and it didn't look anything bad, but if he's had some trouble there already or something, and we know he had a bit of trouble with his hip and stuff in that side, so maybe that was enough for him to just say he wasn't going to take any more risks, and he wanted to come like straight off, and that was immediately after he had scored the goal, you know. So it's, you know, at the end of the day, it would have been nice to see him play that little bit longer, and hopefully, oh, maybe he's even getting another couple more goals under his belt. I think he needs it for his confidence, and our fans certainly need to see him deliver.
It was a long one, that, Sean.
Thank you.
Greg, I'm glad you said it. I have to stay impartial. But, Greg, thanks for teaming us up there. Check is in the post. Wondering, we only get an hour for this show, but Sean could have, catch your breath, get it all back. He's a diamond, is our Sean Wade there. But there were so many moments of drama last night, so many moments in the game. Sean mentioned there that neutral fans would have watched it, and this is what the FA Cup is all about. And so many fans now, and question, is the Cup devalued? Has that romance been lost? You see a Tyler like last night, you saw the away fans at the end, absolute limbs, glory in the end, and this is what it's all about, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah, but I think you have to understand how bad we've been in the FA Cup, and you know, their manager last night said it was really great to see how much the Newcastle players and the bench all celebrated at the end, the goal, everyone going absolutely wild, because it showed respect for them taking it seriously. But we're in the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time before Mike Ashley owned Newcastle United. I've been at some... I was at Oxford when we lost a few years ago. I was at Leicester for one of the worst FA Cup performances I've ever seen in the third round. You know, it's been horrific. So, you know, those that are still going, clearly, you know, enjoying it. You know, you're winning football games away from home, you know, as a day out. You know, you can't beat it, can you? But, yeah, and for some reason, you know, I'm not Steve Bruce's biggest fan, but he seems to have a bit of a knack of lucky cup draws and then scraping through.
Well, maybe it might be lucky, but he says, you know, he'll always give the cup its respect, and I think that's maybe something Newcastle fans can get on board with. They always wanted a strong team. They always wanted to progress further. Steve Bruce, after the game, Greg, said that this is very, very significant for the club. Reaching that fifth round for the first time since 2006, that season being knocked out in the quarterfinals by Chelsea. How significant is it then?
It is, because we've always been a bit of a cup team, you know, known as the Cup Kings in the past, you know. We've got a great history in the FA Cup, obviously going back quite a very long time, not in recent years, but even then, you know, reaching the final, you know, twice in the 90s, and then semi-final in 2000 when we played Chelsea in the semi-final, and we actually played some really good stuff, and Gustavo Poyet scored twice. Robert Lee scored a wonderful header. Shearer skinned LeBerf and wonderful cross and a great header. And that should have been the final, really. Would have played Aston Villa in the final as well. And, you know, I think would have absolutely smashed Villa as well there. Painful. I was there at Wembley. It's painful just talking about it. You know?
Yeah.
Well, but we're, you know, we've got a great cup pedigree. But over the last 15 years, we've not even bothered, and it's been a disgrace. And you know, I always go back on this point about trying. You know, we've always
said, this is a long one,
we
Greg.
Don't demand, you know, that banner said, we don't demand a team that wins, we demand a club that tries. Now I'd still argue we don't have a club that tries, but at least we have a team that tries. But you know, we still need that change, and we still need a club that actually properly tries.
Well, absolutely, I love that quote, Greg. Always providing us with insight and quotes like that. Well, the team is in the fifth round. Maybe this season, after 15 years, it is changing, Greg. And it's West Brom next, and they're going for a sticky patch themselves, Sean. Maybe another opportunity to get another replay and see what happens. No, there is no replays actually in this fifth round. The ties. Greg didn't know this. He's looking at me. I'm bringing a new stat. If the tie is drawing after 90 minutes, it will go to extra time and penalties on that night. There is no replays in the fifth round this year, just like last year, because the games are being played in midweek. We're talking about the drama because we should speak about it. It's the biggest headline and the biggest moment from last night. So many other moments, Sean, I want to talk about. The brilliant winner by ASM, the saves by Darlow, Longstaff getting on the score sheet, and what a peach of an opener it was. Joe Linton getting on the score sheet, and that was a well-taken goal as well. There were other huge, huge positives from last night.
It is massive, and for Sean Longstaff's goal was, you know,
excellent.
He showed real composure. You know, I think he had about four defenders around him at the time.
He did, so
it was like really absolute amazing goal right in the top corner, pretty much unstoppable. And that's what we wanted to see from the get go, you know. And it seemed like they were really up for it. There was someone at Oxford supporter who I was talking to, you know, and he said like it was just Newcastle were a different class in this game compared to how they were at St James's Park, you know. And he said, but it was nice to see, because you know that it's that same thing if giving clubs respect, you know. And it's, we've had, like Greg was saying, we've had too many years where we've played like sort of a youth team or the under 23s, and you know, and it's not given the cup the desired appeal that it deserves. It's the oldest cup competition in the world, you know, and it's probably the greatest cup competition that's ever been. So and like Greg said, we are the Magpies at the end of the day, and Magpies love silver, you know. So really speaking, it's definitely
quote
true.
For quote here. Quote, well, ASM rifling it in for the winner. Darlow on form.
Windmills.
Greg, just ASM, just unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
There you go.
You're speechless.
Yeah, speechless. Well, that is a first.
It was.
We will talk about the Norwich game because we still have to talk about it. I know they don't want to. 0-0 on the weekend. It's 4 unbeaten in the league now. And there was a new addition. It's Danny Rose.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the dangerous duo, the brilliant Greg Tomlinson and Sean Wade, talking about the epic result away to League One Oxford last night. It may be League One, it may be Oxford, it is an epic result. When you go through to the fifth round like that with a rifle from ASM, and when you haven't been there since 2006, it is unbelievably epic. The fans enjoyed it themselves, maybe a little bit too much, but that's all across social media. You can check that out if you know what I mean. Let's talk about the Premier League now. It was 0-0 against Norwich. Norwich had the more possession, had a hatful of chances, but it was 0-0. It's yet another clean sheet, Greg, and it is 4 games unbeaten in the league, 8 unbeaten overall, and we can look at it and go, not good enough, negative, you're already frowning at me, but it is a platform, and that defensive foundation, teams are struggling to beat Newcastle.
Yeah, look, the defensive foundation, you know, from the 3 years of being drilled by Rafa Benitez every day is still there. And it's good that's maintained. But, you know, I saw, you know, even though it was 0-0, it wasn't a good defensive performance. And there's been people saying a few things on Twitter, a few journalists. It wasn't a good defensive performance when you allow the opposition to have 15 or 16 clear-cut chances. Their finishing was terrible and Dubravka was brilliant. And we should have lost that game. And the fact that they can't score is the reason why Norwich are going to go down. We got away with it. We were absolutely terrible on against Norwich.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
We got away with it.
Yeah. We've been so lucky, haven't we, in a lot of games this season. And yeah, that's testament. You know, at the end of the day, like Pukki could have scored for them. You know, I thought he had a good game for all he didn't score. But we just didn't look like scoring, did we, at all?
To be fair, Tim Krul actually made a couple of really good saves
as well.
Yeah,
he did, yeah.
So, you know,
Almiron had a chance with a header, didn't he?
Yeah, and do you know what? Actually, early on, St. Maximum cut in again like he likes to, and he did another P-roller to Tim Krul. Almiron was unmarked with nobody within 10 yards of him, 18 yards out. Dead centre of goal, and he didn't even see him, and that would have been 1-0 up in 5 minutes. Different game if we score.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, because the chances were few and far between. But the big problem on Saturday is you had your midfielders pretty deep, you had your wing backs, and then you had Almiron effectively in the and the wingers there out wide. There was just this massive gaping hole in the middle of the pitch, an absolutely huge hole with nobody there, with your centre mid sat deep, and you've got width. And then you've got Joe Linton up top, completely isolated, and just nothing in the middle. I'm glad he actually changed it last night, because he played Longstaff much further up, and I think that made a difference. Obviously, that's in against the League One team. Whether or not that'll work in the Premier League will be interesting. But, you know, you can't just continue to play with everybody sat back, especially at home against a team like Norwich, and then just a massive gaping hole in the middle of the pitch for the opposition to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we talk about new man Danny Rose, another new man, we've already covered him, but Bentaleb, obviously, playing on the weekend, four chances as well, helping create. I think no player has created more in a single match for the Magpies this season, making a quick impact. What are you making of him now that you've had a bit more chance to watch him play, Sean?
I was really impressed with him last night. I must admit, the Norwich game was absolutely dire to watch.
And still, even though you got a point, Sean.
Getting a point is fantastic.
I'm not dressing it up, by the way.
Do you know what, right? And I'm going to be honest. I watched the first half and the second half, I actually fell asleep. It was that dismal.
But you're always falling asleep. you missed this show once because you fell asleep. What does that mean, Sean? In the grand scheme.
That means I'm just a bit of a party animal, you know. Yeah. So, and sometimes I burn my candle at both ends, and then that's it. Boof. When I hit the pillow. Simple as that. But no. The game was absolutely dire, So the second half, I pretty much missed all of it. But last night, I did get. Well, I think everyone got a chance to actually see him play. And for me, I think he looks like he's getting back to, because he's still not quite 100% match fitness, but he looked like someone that was maybe 85 to 90%. And if we're seeing 85 to 90% of this bloke's capacity, then I think when he's on 100%, it's going to be fantastic.
My only worry is he looks like he's got a bit of the Shelvey about him in terms of the lack of mobility.
I think that's match fitness, to be fair, Greg.
So we'll see, because he's got a lovely, lovely, lovely foot.
His talent shined last night.
Lovely left foot, and he can really, yeah.
Do you know who else I was impressed with as well? Lascelles, you can see he's nearly back to full fitness as well, because he was different class last night. I mean, that header that he done on the, which, you know, that had goal wrote all over it. That prior to that, Darlow pulled off a fantastic
reaction save.
This was when, really speaking, Oxford were absolutely battering. And to be fair to them, they were unlucky to not get a goal from that. Had they have scored then would they have beat one full time?
Like 3-2,
they could have been, couldn't they, in full time? If that had gone in,
you should have a pen.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I have
it's
to bring
a few
up,
dodgy
Sean,
referee decisions on them.
Apart from when you are falling asleep, and you've been making
I
yourself
work very hard.
You've been making yourself very available to lots of Love Sport radio shows. You was on midday yesterday. You was on breakfast this morning. And I know you're sort of you're making yourself available. It's this marked down. Don't worry, you're in the books.
No worries.
But one thing you did say, and we have to refer to it now, you said that obviously talking of how well Newcastle are doing in the FA Cup, the ongoing takeover bid, like Ketch said actually last week, it will all go quiet there before we know what's happened. Seemingly, we've not heard much this week.
No.
You said Ashley won't sell until we win the cup. I know that loads of people...
No, he said this. Mike Ashley said that this was a couple of seasons
ago. That's what I'm saying.
Ago.
You said that Ashley said, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mike Ashley said a couple of seasons
he
ago.
Said a lot
that,
of things, though.
Yeah, he has. He said a lot of things, which a lot of have been lies as well. But to be fair, he said a couple of seasons ago that he shan't be selling the club unless Newcastle win something. And he said, and by when I say win something, he said also if we qualify for the Champions League, that would categorise as winning something. Now, however, I know that the the sale at this moment in time, or at least the bid. The bid is real for the club. You know, they have got the £350 million. They have also got the £200 million on top of that to invest. So they want to invest £100 million into the facilities and the stadium and stuff, and they also want to invest another £100 million straight into the squad. This bid is real for £350 million. So, you know, it's down to Mike Ashley. He needs to take this bid. And it's £350 million for that squad is a lot of money.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about this a lot later. We're going to dedicate a whole section to what is going on with the takeover bid. But what I was going to say, Sean, just quickly on that, that FA Cup run, do you believe then, because there was quite a some Twitter interaction on the back of you saying this.
Yes, well, the thing is that if he doesn't take this bid and we do win the FA Cup, then he has to be a man of his word for a change, doesn't he? And he has to accept the responsibility of the words that Michael sees.
Absolutely. Well, a new man that did join, Danny Rose, he's back up north where he belongs, joining the Magpies.
Fish and chips.
Greg, you took the words out of my mouth. He said he only found one decent chip shop in London throughout his duration at Spurs, but he has signed. You've signed him for his qualities on the pitch and not how he locates a decent chippy, Greg.
Yeah, look, we needed a left back after injury to Jethro Williams I mean, to go out and get, you know, England's left back, you know, clearly.
And still wants to play at the Euros.
Still wants to play at the Euros. You know, top class, top quality player, northern guy. You know, what a signing, really, on loan. Hopefully he can find his love of football again. I think it's clear, you know, he's gone through some difficult times. He's been subject to some horrific racist abuse. That has made him really have a think quite deeply about his role in sport, and to hear him talk about with that passion about, you know, getting playing again, and I think, you know, if he's come to a club where he's going to be loved, he's definitely done that, and hopefully we can see the best of him on the pitch. England can see the best of him in the summer. We can buy him as well. As well would be really good. But you know, you can't overlook the fact that he said he's been in London for 13 years. And only found one good chippy. So, where's the one good chippy in London? I want to know.
Where is this chippy?
I have to disagree because I know many more than that. I'm not trusting Danny Rose on that. But
have you had fish and chips from Newcastle before?
I haven't, but...
Ah, there you go. You've never had fish and chips.
Hey,
Northern fish and chips is better than... No. I mean, I even went to Manchester...
Wait, listen. My girlfriend's stepdad is from Newcastle. He said they do the best fish and chips, so I'm going to have that soon. Problem. I can't wait. Don't worry. So, the award
Fenham
is chippy. There.
Go to Fenham Chippy just off the Cowgate roundabout. Honestly, it's fantastic. And if you're listening, Fenham Chippy, next time in, I want them free.
Well, we're keeping on Newcastle. And on Danny Rose, Greg... A lot's being made of, has he lost it, father time, slightly catching up with him, has he still got the ability, you know, we all know what a change of scenery can do, does he still have the ability he had of the 15-16 season?
You know what, I think he does, and I think it'll take him a bit of time to get going and get back into the swing of things, really, because he's been very in and out, you know, he's been playing at Spurs, but just not on a regular basis, but you could tell as soon as he came on against Norwich that he's got quality. You can just tell from his touch, his movement, his positioning. He's got quality coming out of him. You know, he's a top quality player. And we've been crying out, you know, for that. And you know, Williams, I really like the look of Williams. I really feel for Jethro Williams, actually, because we had a clause there potentially to buy him as well.
Look at the goal he scored against Liverpool.
Oh, cracking couple of goals he scored. It wasn't, you know. But, you know, to get Rose, you know, when we thought we were going to be pretty much in trouble with a left back is fantastic, and let's hope it comes off, because you know it's a pretty low risk signing, really. I think
I think it's a great bit of business by Newcastle, but
what
Sean,
is it
overall gone
Ben with having Bentlin in as well, because they actually know each other.
Bentlin
from...
that's for coughs,
who's that?
Man,
Bentlin, sorry,
still haven't said it properly.
Bentlib. What, sorry, I can't
get... Bentlib.
That'll do, right. So, but he also played for Spurs as well, so they were actually teammates at Spurs as well, weren't they? That's it. Charlie's lost it.
Overall then, would you say the players at Newcastle have signed and the one that Sean just made up there, Greg, have they had a good window?
I think we've had a reasonable window in terms of our incredibly low expectations for a January transfer window, but we've not made any permanent signings. We've not brought in a striker when we're crying out for a striker. You know, one day Bruce is saying he's happy with his lot. The next day he's saying, really worried Joelinton, however you pronounce it.
Ah, oh, there you go.
They did have a bid turned down, didn't they, for a Liverpool player. £35 million.
Midfielder, though. Yeah. Joe, and then it showed in the training ground on FaceTime, and he said, oh, no, thanks. Apparently.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really? So they need this, the upgrade to the facilities as much as the team.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because didn't Lee Charney just say last season, he said that basically there was nothing wrong with the facilities, he said, and they've never ever had any player turn them down because of the training facilities. Well, they've had one, and they've had another as well, because Tino, who we've just getting on loan as well, he's been at the training ground, and as soon as he was at the training ground, he was just like, no, Newcastle's not the club for him. And he's only on 6 month loan, so he's another one. He's just said that there's no way that he wants to sign. And I don't think that's quite what he said. He said
his heart's still set on Inter Milan.
But this was also after he had just been at the training ground. So under our first session, I've forgotten what the question was now.
So our vice lucky though, because Mick Martin is on next, Newcastle legends, to give us his take on the season so far, and more importantly, you can put a question to Mick or Greg or Sean, have your say on the Magpies this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with my partners in crime, Greg Tomlinson and Sean Wade, both from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, saying everything on that epic game last night. We're going to be talking the ongoing takeover bid. Danny Rose has joined the club. But what are you saying this evening? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, the show, it was packed drama last night. It's full of drama tonight for the Magpies. Delighted to say Mick Martin joins us now, ex-Newcastle legend. Mick, it's really good to get you on the show, someone I always enjoy hearing from. We really appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. Unbelievable scenes last night. It was only a fourth round replay, but it was so much more than that, because Newcastle reaching the fifth round for the first time since 2006. How happy were you, and what did you make of it?
I thought it was a great game. I saw the game up at Newcastle, which was very poor. Newcastle were disappointing, but last night's game was exciting. I thought Oxford played really, really well. Some spectacular goals, ending with St Maximum sticking one in with a bit of skill, and he's always got that, which just nudged Newcastle to the next round against my former club, West Bromwich Albion, where I spent 3.5 years before I came to Newcastle. So I'm looking forward to that game.
Excellent. I was actually going to come in there, Mick, and ask you a question about West Brom and sort of how do you see, with you being an ex-player of West Brom as well, so how do you actually fancy your chances there?
It's always a tough place to go and play at the Hawthorns. When I was playing there, there's not a lot of clubs. I remember beating Manchester United 4-1. I remember beating Liverpool 1-0 when I was playing there. So it's not the greatest place in the world to go to and expect to get a win. But West Brom are doing pretty good in the Championship, and Newcastle on the back of the result against Oxford, will go there fancying themselves, but it's a real, real tough ask. It's a 50-50 game. Big club Newcastle, big club West Brom. We just got to wait and see how things happen.
I think we've got some tough games as well in between them. We've got Arsenal and Crystal Palace, so it's sort of a fair bit of travelling up and down the country before that as well. So there's a lot going on. Have the team gone over to Spain for this sort of period?
Well, I'm led to believe that they're away in Marbella.
Yeah,
it's a week's break, and it's always very welcome to players. We done it even in my time. We used to go away to Spain and have a break. It's well earned.
I think it is well earned.
I think not only Newcastle, but all clubs deserve a break at this time of the year after going through the Christmas period with lots of games. And to get away for a week is great. And I was, you talked about Liverpool last night and Jurgen Klopp not being there, being away. I think, people say, well, he should have been there and that. But, he's had a lot of stuff to do with his first team, which the senior team have proved spectacular. And he's just got it. He just went and let the under-21 coach handle the game yesterday, and he got through 1-0 against Shrewsbury. So, I think that was good for him. He didn't need to stay at home to play against Shrewsbury. I think it was a good choice by him, even though some people say no. But there you go.
Yeah. I think Liverpool's gone out to Marbella as well. I had heard something where I think they've gone out there for a little rest break as well, so that would be interesting.
Well, they're definitely away, whether it's Marbella or not, I'm not 100% sure, but if they are, they might have a game.
Why not?
Do you think West Brom will play a full-strength team? They've been making quite a lot of changes in their FA Cup. Obviously, they're trying to get back promoted, back up to the Premier League, aren't they? It'll be interesting if they go full strength when we play them on the Tuesday night in a couple of weeks' time.
I'd be surprised if they didn't, because not that they're going to win it, and not that Newcastle are going to win it, but I think the supporters would expect them to play a very, very strong side, because it's a great chance of getting through, you know, against Newcastle for West Bromwich Albion, and they're in a great position in the Championship. So it's a difficult position for the manager. But if it was me, I'd play 95% of my first team. And I think all the players involved would want to be playing in that particular game, because it's a big game against a big club and they all want to be involved.
Yeah, should be a good game. I mean, we've had some decent results there away down at West Brom over the years. Really, haven't we? I remember, you know,
Shearer. Not when I was playing.
Remember Shearer and Owen both scoring there, and you know, I remember a really, really good performance with Ben Arfa and Cisse in that bright orange kit.
We have had some
decent wins down there, so you know,
anything can happen in the FA Cup at the end of the day, you know. So.
Well, again, it's a cup game, you know. It's like Oxford play Newcastle, they go to extra time in a game that Newcastle are supposed to win and should have won from being 2-0 up, but two spectacular goals from Oxford, great free kick and a great volley by the kid, took it into extra time, and then a spectacular goal from St Maxim, you know, just tied it up for Newcastle. But I'm saying it's a real, real 50-50 game down at the Hawthorns when it comes to being, you know.
I think, yeah, it is. And last night, I think, you know, we saw sort of five fantastic goals being scored. But, you know,
great goals, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that, I think that was great for the FA Cup as well, you know. And we were talking before and saying, you know, it must be a great match for a neutral to be watching, especially sort of like the younger generation, you know, where they're getting their first taste of sort of football. So, for that sense, you know, good on the FA Cup, you know, that's what it's all about. It's, you know, it always has been and it always should be. Greatest competition in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Mick, just quickly, obviously, what are you making of the job Steve Bruce is done and is doing so far this season? And what is the realistic aim and expectation going forward into the second half now?
Survival. they've had some great results from nowhere, notably Everton away, Chelsea at home in the 94th minute when Hayden scored, and then Lejeune scores two goals in the space of 2 minutes after 90 minutes. It doesn't happen. You know, if they don't get those 4 points, they're lumbered in the bottom, you know, just maybe a point or two ahead of the bottom three.
Yeah.
So they've been spectacular results for Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we've got this many points, to be honest.
They've got there.
Yeah, somehow.
You know, as you say, how they've got there. You know, I think Steve Bruce has been an influence on the players, and I think the players respect and like Steve Bruce, and he's a good guy. You know, he's been a top player for Manchester United, and he's been a coach at a variety of clubs over a period. So, you know, we just let him get on with it and hope that he can... It was always going to be a case of survival when he's appointed after Rafa Benitez, so he seems to be on the route to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mick, really good to get you on the show tonight. I appreciate you giving us some time. Ex-Newcastle legend there, Mick Martin, coming on the show, giving us his insight of the season so far. The main aim is survival. We can't really not disagree with that, talking of the points, but we're going to talk about next the ongoing issues around the club, the takeover bid, and we've got two men here from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, and I just may lean on them a little for some more information.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the dangerous duo, the Newcastle United Supporters Trust duo. It is Greg Tomlinson and Sean Wade. Remember, there is still time this evening to have your say on the Toon Army. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. There's been some positives, there's been some lows, but maybe more positive that you were thinking come this time in February before the season starts. started. I remember it way back talking in the boycotts, the protests, the relegation fight. Newcastle have slightly turned that corner. How will it go down the home straight? Well, talking of a man who may know a little bit more, we've already had Mick Martin on the show tonight. Greg, I want to talk about a few things now. You two are at the heart of everything, the what's going on across Newcastle and in the community, and obviously the takeover bid. Just in terms of what's the latest with any dealings with the Supporters Trust, where can you update us, Greg?
Well, you know, we're working away as a Supporters Trust in terms of all the various issues and trying to, you know, be there as the voice of the 10,000 members that we have and try and build that up and also work on some really interesting plans for the future. And we've seen, I don't know, some of the guys, Sean, you can maybe say a bit more about this, went on a little visit last weekend, was it?
Yes, so we were invited up to Hearts Football Club. Hearts Football Trust have just paid off their final payment, and now their fans actually own Hearts Football Club. Prior to that, they had been all putting the monies together in a pledge to buy the club, and I mean they've got a fantastic owner there. And prior to that, they paid for a new stand at the stadium, and basically the Hearts Board and Trust up in Scotland had invited our trust up to go along and to find out about how they've sort of set up the pledge and how the whole fan ownership came around and how it's working for them. So there was quite a few of the board members, nearly all of the board members that went up last week to find out all about it.
Not the important ones. Greg wasn't there, was he?
Greg wasn't there, and
I was in Paris.
And I had to pull it.
Visiting PSG, I assume. And for their owners.
Yeah, it's been nice, wasn't it? And I had to cancel the last minute because I wasn't very well. So
I didn't go.
No. So absolutely devastated.
That was a good story then. Sean wasn't even there.
But what's going to happen?
Yeah. No, all right, then.
Well, what's going to happen is me, Greg, and Alex is probably going to go up in a few months' time and speak to them. But we've got a lot going on at the minute. We've got AGM coming up at the end of the month. So we'll be sending details out to all the members for the dates and times for that. We are obviously, as a trust, which, you know, it's known that sort of we've wanted to do a pledge or something, you know, towards fan ownership ourselves, you know. So that's why we're up at Hearts, basically, to find out all about it.
Yeah, lots of other things going on as well. So St James's Park, asset of community value. That's a 5-year listing. Previous trust board, quite some time ago, managed to get St James's Park listed as an asset of community value. What that means is that as a trust, if that something happens to that land, we have the first option on it.
To buy it.
To effectively buy it. It shouldn't happen, given the ownership situation there at St James's Park, but it's a safeguard. So that's about to expire. So we're working on a new application to renew and safeguard St James's Park there as an asset of value to the community of Newcastle. So that's another thing that's going on at the moment as well. Meetings, conversations with the club.
And can I ask, with the Premier League, Greg, because obviously we heard about this VAR survey last night, Richard Masters, the CEO, the Premier League chief executive, saying that we've spoken to the clubs, you know, that they want VAR to stay, it is here to stay, we only want to improve. When they do this, is it you that they contact through? How does stuff like this happen, Sean? Greg, sorry.
So I think that most of that is from our side in terms of those types of interactions, I think it's through Thomas on our board
through the FSA.
So he's quite heavily involved with the FSA, the Football Supporters Association, which is a merger of what was the FSF and Supporters Direct, and this new organization, you know, bigger, more powerful organization headed up by Kevin Miles, and they do some really good stuff there and in terms of that type of work. So yeah, they've been heavily involved. I know Sean, I think you went to a VAR meeting at one point.
He said he was there, but he didn't, just like Hearts.
How was that?
So Thomas, who, you know, great guy, who pretty much goes to every Newcastle match, home and away, and every England game, I think, as well, you know, absolutely loves his football and is really spot on. So yeah, he's really involved in all of that side of things and I guess feeding in from that perspective.
They've just had quite a big meeting, so I think they're going to release details about that meeting and a lot of that meeting was about VAR and stuff. So obviously we can't say too much because we're waiting on them to release all of the details basically before we can go.
Well, obviously it's a big point for fans. Obviously we know VAR's in its infancy. It's had its teething problems this season. Richard Masters said that it is here to stay. Another item he brought up, because it does involve Newcastle, saying that maybe the summer transfer window will go back to August the 31st and won't shut a day before the opening Premier League game. As fans, as two people on the board, what do you make of this?
So I quite like the change, but I don't know if I'm in
I agree.
The company there, because for other clubs other than
European clubs didn't follow suit, did they, Greg?
They didn't, no. But yeah. it surely it makes sense to lock in.
I think so.
Your squad before the first game, and it takes away that 4 weeks, 3 weeks of pretty much nonsense, and in a way, and I think surely it's better for the players because they know that they're set in.
It was that uncertainty though, wasn't it? You know, our window was locked, but yet the rest of Europe was still open.
So players could still leave.
We could still have players being like sold off and stuff, and then your squad's depleted. So unless everyone plays ball and this is fixed, you know, which is through FIFA basically, isn't it? You know, they're the government body.
It's very difficult though, isn't it? Because the different seasons start at different times, so regulating that will be very, very difficult. But I think certainly domestically, I think they should keep it.
If it's locked in the English leagues, then it should be locked and no players should be able to be bought or sold. It's as simple as that. So,
Yeah, maybe European clubs can still buy. They just can't buy players playing in the Premier League because their window's locked. Yeah, that's a good argument, Sean. Who knows how they'll do that going forward? And obviously, it is the winter break. Obviously, we have followed European suit there. We're talking about how they're doing it. The first one in the Premier League ever, a shorter one. Up in Italy, they have a month off. Spain, Germany do it. We're just having a week off. Newcastle's is this weekend. Has it come at the right time? And what do you make of the winter break itself?
Well, it is needed. You know, the Christmas period is such a busy time and it does take its toll on every team. So definitely the winter break is needed without doubt. I think the winter break came about originally because a lot of pitches were frozen and stuff, and it was, you know, like back in the day before, heated pitches and stuff. So it was brought around a lot to do with that, I believe. Greg's shaking his head there.
Not in the Premier League, it wasn't.
Not in the Premier League, not in the Premier League itself, no. But the thing is that there's always been a winter break. Is there a good time? Is there a bad time? I suppose slightly, yeah, but. You know, if the teams go,
I think it's a good time. You know, because you can't have it at Christmas, because a Christmas football program to football supporters in the UK in England is sacrosanct. You know, it's brilliant. You know, you're off work
Boxing Day.
There's a match. There's your team's playing every couple of days, but regardless of that, if you like football, there is a match to watch more than once a day. It's an amazing time. So I think it's the right time to do it. I think it's wrong that we've had FA Cup replays in this window,
Again, like VAR teething problems,
it'll be worked on for next year. The Premier League and the FA, why they aren't talking to each other?
This is it. It's about communication, and they're going almost against each other. And Jurgen Klopp, I know it's the Newcastle show, highlighted this. He said the Premier League have asked us to have a break. We are having a break, and the FA want us to play a replay.
Yeah, no, and he's right, I think. You know, it doesn't make sense, does it, at all?
You would have thought that they would have spoke to each other about this.
You would have thought. So, you know, thankfully for us playing Tuesday night, it's only, 48 hours, really, two more days, really, or three days, really. And the guys can get away now for a break. And, you know, when you have a squad that is as stretched as ours, then I think it's absolutely, it's a really key time, and hopefully we can get some players back and get a bit of recovery in there, Bruce uses his squad very differently to Benitez. Rafa was very, methodical in his rotation at the right times, in terms of keeping his players fresh, and making sure that they have a strong second half to the season. He used to do that for when he was in the Champions League, so that they would really go at the Champions League. And we saw that. We were always stronger second half there. Bruce has done it differently. He plays his strongest team pretty much every week if they're available. And that's obviously causing some issues. Obviously that's his decision to do that, but we've had a hell of a lot of injuries this year. So, I think in this situation, yeah, we really need it. If we can get back a few players,
Carroll being one of them.
Carroll's a big one, Carroll is so injury prone. He's a little bit, he's not what he was, but we really miss being able to put him on for 10 minutes of absolute chaos at the end of a game, because that's what he causes, just absolute
chaos.
Yeah,
hopefully he can still make an impact. He made an impact in a few games earlier in the season. Sean, you kind of alluded to it earlier. We want to touch upon it now. The ongoing takeover bid. Not good when I say radio silence on a radio show, but we haven't had much movement and it has all gone slightly quiet, and we know Mike Ashley isn't a fan of things of when they go public.
He's not, and we don't know, we don't understand why, because the simple fact is it was last December, it was December the 3rd last year, when he came out and said that the sales were in progress and they had never been as far in the stages, and he came out and said that, you know, there was a protest on down in Parliament, because Mike Ashley was actually down in Parliament that time, so I think it was the London Magpie Group that actually had a protest against Mike Ashley, and then he went straight after that onto Sky Sports and or Sky News and then released details about someone that was in for buying the club. So it seems very much like it's okay, you know, like laugh when the gaffer laughs kind of scenario. So
I'm not sure I buy this media thing, though.
I don't buy it at all.
And the reason I say
that's what
that,
I'm saying, it's like it was all right for him to come out and say it, but it's not for anyone else.
He uses the media in his business. That's what he does. That's how they do business. He's talked about the need for reform in other areas of his interests. So, you know, obviously, you know, a big transaction, you don't want it coming out, but I don't think it necessarily a game breaker. But I think, you know, let's be honest, it came out in the Wall Street Journal. If it's going to get done, we'll hear about it when it's done. It seems like, from what we can tell, that he just has to decide whether or not he actually wants to sell it or not. It seems real. We'll then have to consider the moral issues if the funding is where it's coming from. For me, you know, that is an issue. For a lot of our fans, it won't be an issue. But you know, Saudi has its record on human rights, etc. For me, that will be something I'll have to look at very closely. It's not something I've looked at yet in terms of the specifics, because it's just based on rumour and we don't know who the owner would be. But for me, that's something I'll have to look at very closely personally. A lot of fans just want rid of Mike Ashley, so that'll be different. Let's wait and see what happens.
Wait and see what happens. When it has... I know you want to say something else, Sean, before I bring you in. When it has gone silent and there is no deadline and we don't know how quickly or slowly this is moving, we don't know what's next, really. Ketch kind of kindly done us a timeline, what we can expect, but we don't know, really. When can we see maybe any more developments?
Well, I hope it's before Mother's Day, and I hope it's before the daffodils are grown, and then we can set off fireworks and all celebrate. It's as simple as that, you know. But really, it's all comes down to Mike Ashley, so it's down to him. As far as I can gather, there's a real bid on the table of £350 million. That is just ready to be transferred to his bank, and all he has to do is sign and hand over the keys to St James's Park. It's the price that he wanted for the club. I think there's a lot of conditions and agreements that's been done and dusted and signed off. So I think very much the onus is on Mike Ashley. He's been saying for, 11 years now that he wants to sell the club. I don't think he's going to get a better opportunity to take the amount that he wants. You know, he wants 350 mil. He's been offered 350 million. So take it. Why would you not? If, you know, it just doesn't make sense to have it drag on any further. The transfer window is now closed, so any new owners coming in can't actually make any changes until the summer. As far as we're aware, there's kind of a business plan being handed to Mike Ashley to say, look, we want to buy the club, 350 million. We've got 200 million to invest straight into the squad and to the facilities. So he's aware of that, you know, and he said in a couple of times that he would like to sell the club, but to the right people that's going to take the club forward. I don't think there's anyone else that's going to take the club further forward better than what Amanda Stavely is and the Rubin brothers, because essentially they will be controlling and running the club, and I'm very confident in their business skills and in how they conduct themselves within world practice, you know, regardless of where the bulk of the 80% of the money will be coming from, which is from the Royal Saudi Fund, you know. So, but that in regards to who's going to be running the club, you know, I think these are highly, highly professional people. The Rubin brothers have got a lot of property up in Newcastle. They've bought a lot of land around sort of Pilgrim Street and stuff and things like that. They know and they understand the community. So I just think they're their cash injection isn't just going to be, you know, like spent willy-nilly. It's going to be put back into the community. It's going to create more jobs, certainly at the club, certainly around the community, which has got to be better for the whole region.
Well, that's what we're all hoping for. We're praying for that. We've come to an end. Sadly, I say goodbye to Sean and Greg, but only till next week on the Newcastle Fan Show. They can enjoy a winter break of sorts for themselves, safe in the knowledge that they are through like Newcastle, to not only next week, but to the fifth round of the FA Cup for the first time since 2006. This has been the Newcastle Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, Greg Tomlinson and Sean Wade. We will be back at the same time as we are every week, every Wednesday at 7 p.m.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.